CliffCentral.com.
All right, so George, what's happening in the world of motoring this week?
Well, another petrol price hike next week, Gareth. The 95-octane pump will go up by 11 cents a litre. I mean, we'll only know the final numbers, obviously, next week, Tuesday, but at the moment it's 11 cents a litre. It was going to go up even more. But the rand strengthened, so it came down. The increase came down by to 11 cents, and it's now going to be 15 rand 23, with 93 going up 15 cents to 14 rand 98, and diesel going up 49 cents to 13 rand 56. So, you know, pre-lockdown levels, we reached a high of about 16 rand 76, which was last year, June. And then this year, January, we were sitting on just over 16 rand. So it's reaching pre-lockdown levels again.
It's undeniable that people are driving a lot less at the moment, right? I mean, certainly, if you take the number of cars on the road as an indicator, for the first 2 months of lockdown, it was very, very quiet. And it's starting to get closer to where it was, but it's still nowhere near. Petrol stations must be suffering a little bit, because even with the petrol price going up, they don't get to keep that profit. People are filling up their cars a lot less.
Yeah, you know, petrol stations, just like car selling for that matter, is a volume business. You can't run a petrol station unless you're doing hundreds of thousands of liters. So I'm pretty sure petrol stations are under huge amounts of pressure. But so then is the tax that goes to the government, because a large portion of that fuel price is tax levy.
Yeah. In fun fact, times.
Governments have no idea of how much of a problem they're going to have. Certainly when they started this lockdown, I'm sure they thought, well, you know, we'll be okay, like most of us did. But actually, if you combine all the sin taxes, the petrol tax, the businesses that are not going to be declaring any profit this year, there's going to be zero income for government. Zero.
It's going to be bad, because, I mean, the government collects tax in retrospect.
Yeah.
In most instances, you know, they collect the tax in retrospect. So the problem probably still coming, as you say.
Okay. George, I have a very interesting question with regards to when you go fill up with petrol.
Oh, look at that. It's Michael Flax.
It's good to see you. You know the process. The guy will ask you if you want first click or to fill to the top. Now, some of my mates are saying that you should fill your car to first click and not overfill it, because it's bad for the car. Is that true?
No. So, I mean, the only thing that can be bad for the car is the paintwork on the outside if you overfill it and it starts running out the petrol filler. It's a sealed unit. It's a sealed tank, a sealed pipe. They wouldn't have made the car to suffer from that sort of thing. They can fill it right to the top, close the seal, which, that cap has a rubber seal on it. So petrol's going nowhere.
So it makes sense. You'll get further if you tell him to fill it to the brim.
Yeah, but also it takes longer. You know, what does it matter? You can stop at a filling station. Even if you fill your car to halfway, it just means you stop at a filling station more times.
And then one of my mates also said, every third time you go fill up with petrol, you should check your tires. You shouldn't check them every time.
Yeah, it's a waste of time to check them every time. And if you're going on a long trip, sure. But otherwise, I would say every third time is sufficient. Hey, George, that's almost too much even.
Yeah, that's too much. That's like, that's like combing your hair four times a day. There's no point.
Goodness, thank you so much for like talking about this, because it was always one of those manly things that I thought like men know, but I don't know. And I was always so ashamed to even ask the attendant, what the heck is the difference between a first click? So whenever he asks, like, oh, first click or first, I'm like, yeah, that one, whatever.
See, this is what we do, Sia. We make it easier for people to have those embarrassing questions answered for them.
Sia, if you're ever returning a rental, straight away say first click.
Okay, first click is the way to get, just 95, first click.
George, tell me about BMW and electric vehicles. I mean, they still, aren't BMW somewhere in the lead? They might not be number one, but they're certainly in the top three when it comes to electric vehicles, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, so they've got the hybrid, and then they've got the full electric i3. But they're up there because not not many of the ICE vehicle manufacturers have got any made any dent really in the electric vehicle world.
Sia, ICE is internal combustion engine.
I'm going to sound so impressive this weekend.
I'll be sitting with the Oaks talking about this at their braai.
Internal combustion engine.
Yes, ICE vehicle. Sorry, George, to interrupt you. Carry on.
Thank you.
But BMW has fallen behind Merck and Tesla when it comes to EVs. Merck has blazed the trail. Tesla is obviously the market leader, the most valuable company in the world. But BMW seems to be gaining momentum. By 2023, they have promised to put 25 electrified cars on the road, five of them being fully electric. Now, you know the i3 because you've driven one, Gareth.
Yep.
And then before the end of this year, the Mini Cooper SE will be hitting South Africa's shores. And then after that, the iX3. A vehicle called the iNext and the i4 will be fully electrified. So it looks like BMW is getting onto this bandwagon.
While we're on electric cars, apparently the cheapest electric car ever to be in South Africa will be here this year. What is that?
The BMW SE.
Huh. What does it look like?
It looks like a Mini.
That's going to be cheap, right, compared to all these other electric vehicles.
It'll be 622,000 rand starting price, which isn't cheap.
I'm looking at it now.
But how accessible is it to recharge these vehicles?
There is infrastructure, so you can drive from here to Durban, here to Cape Town, Johannesburg to Cape Town, and charge the vehicle on the way. There is electric charging infrastructure. The trouble is you can't do it very quickly. It's not like for a click on your
on your ICE engine, George.
you can't go and sit and have a coffee and then your car is 100% charged. You might have to sleep over that night.
Yes.
Are they charging you like per kilowatt, or is it like a package deal you buy for a month?
Well, it depends on which car you buy. So with the Jaguar I-Pace, you do get a special deal with charging. And Jaguar has a dedicated infrastructure that's dedicated to Jaguar. So
I remember when I was driving the BMW, they told me where the recharge stations were. And that some of them are like really quick recharge stations compared to the ones that you have to leave on overnight. But
yeah.
You could pretty much plug it into any plug, Flex, because if you're staying at a place overnight, then you just plug it into their wall and you say to them, I'll give you an extra $200 for electricity or whatever.
Did you have to pay at the charging station?
No, those charging stations are part of their whole infrastructure, so they let you have it for free. But if you stayed at someone's house in Bloemfontein on your way to Cape Town, for example, you just say, listen, can I plug my car in? And you just plug it into the wall like you would any other appliance.
Exactly. The car comes with an adapter like your phone. Yeah. So you can plug it into the wall. And then will people know how to drive cars in the future?
That's a good question.
Some people don't even know how to drive properly today.
Yeah, but it's always been like part of being again, this is a very male discussion because I don't think it's as big a deal. There are obviously great women drivers in history, not as many, but there are some. And it's always been like a rite of passage for men, like when you get your driver's license and when you can drive. And the guys who always drove, like Steve McQueen and those people, we've looked up to them for years, right? Like it's a skill. I suppose before that, if you're a really good horse rider, it used to be counted the same way.
Then you were a cowboy and in the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
I mean, look at those movies. Those movies are still popular into the 21st century.
But maybe it won't be necessary to learn to drive.
Well, BMW is trying to look into the future, and they've patented a yoke, which is like a joystick. And if you go onto my Twitter feed, you'll see I've posted a picture of this yoke. And the yoke is if you imagine a game joystick with the speed control. So the joystick controls direction, and the dial on top of the joystick controls speed. Now, you can imagine trying to move from accelerating and braking with your feet to doing everything with your hands using this joystick. Will people be able to drive in the future? Because the way you drive a car might change.
Hmm. I think that's fascinating. I mean, that's the way to look at it, because certainly things are not going to stay the same, right?
No. So I think they're gearing up for fully autonomous cars. And how do you control a fully autonomous car? Why do you need all of the mechanisms and pedals and all that stuff in a fully autonomous car? You just need to be able to control it sometimes.
Yeah, really, all those controls that we have in a car are there because of the mechanisms to make the car work. Now that car mechanisms have changed, so should the controls.
Exactly. So BMW is looking into the future to try and be ahead of the curve, for lack of a better word. But I don't know if anybody's going to beat Tesla, to be honest.
Yeah, they've got a hell of a job ahead of them, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And then talking about futuristic things, Ford is testing dogs in their factory from next month.
Dogs.
But these aren't regular dogs. These are robotic dogs. Do you know Boston Dynamics?
Yeah. That's that frightening company that makes all those robots that are absolutely terrifying, with their knees bend backwards and they jump over boxes. So
Ford is leasing these Boston Dynamic dogs from Boston Dynamics, and what this dog is designed to do is to walk through the factory. They're doing it in one of their factories as a test. They're to walk through the factory and scan the working areas.
Yeah,
it has five eyes. And as it walks through the factory, scans the working areas to, when the factory has to retool, they now have a 3D scan of the factory and can plan. Now, you might think that this is trivial, but for humans to do the scanning and walk through the factory traditionally costs about 4.3 million rand and takes about 4 weeks.
Genius.
So now they've got these robot dogs walking through the factory with laser eyes, scanning the factory, costing, a cost of a Boston Dynamics dog is about 1 million rand. Sure. And it cuts the scanning time in half.
And they have five eyes. That's scary. Jesus, these things are terrifying, but at the same time, very impressive.
Robots are the future. We've got to adapt and change and let them into our worlds. Look at how much this company is saving.
You let something with five eyes come in and scan you in the bedroom. I'm not going to be so thrilled about that. All right.
In the middle of the night, seeing these five red dots.
What else you got us for us? What else have you got for us, George?
So Reynolds is doing a test. I don't know if you've ever heard of a cow. What is it?
Dogs and cows and
if you ever heard of a town called Appy in France.
No, not Appy.
So Appy in France is one of the most isolated towns, and
are the people in Appy happy?
They are Appy because they are very high up.
Oh,
okay, what happens there?
I think these are my ancestors.
So they are giving every person in this town a fully electric Renault Zoe, which is about the size of a Renault Clio. They're giving every single person in the town. Now, there are only 26 people in the town, but don't shoot that idea down for a second. The nearest town to Appy is approximately 10 to 20 kilometers away, but it is very, very windy because Appy is up in the mountains.
Okay.
And about a 20 to 30 minute drive. The Zoe can do about 394 kilometers. So Reynolds' hope is that they're able to prove that 100% electric town is a sustainable thing.
Uh-huh.
So you might think, France is a small place. South Africa is two times bigger than France.
Sure.
The UK is over five times smaller than South Africa. So France isn't a small place. And I think if they can prove that this town can run on fully electric cars,
right,
it'll be the first town in the world that does it.
And especially if it's up on the top of a mountain and it's got this long, windy path up to it, then people will be less afraid, because those are exactly the places you don't want to break down in.
Exactly. So I hope this test works. The funny thing is, though, Renault just got a massive subsidy in order to not go out of business from their government. So it's interesting that that they're now giving a town fully electric cars as a test, a marketing exercise, for lack of a better thing.
It's like free market research. It's genius again.
Yes, exactly. And then the cheapest electric car to ever grace South Africa's shores, as I said, was the Mini SE. Mm-hmm. So now you've got to ask yourself, well, at 642,000 Rand for the Mini SE, the BMW i3 starts at 721,000 Rand. Why are they so expensive?
Yeah, these electric cars are just out of everybody's range, I think, even if you have all the intention in the world of converting.
Yeah, they are. But the reason that they're so expensive in South Africa and not so expensive in other parts of the world is because of government subsidies.
Oh,
so we're back down to the government tax thing. So, you know, the reason for electric cars also being so expensive is because they're treated, if you want to kind of in layman's terms, they're treated like a golf cart when they're imported.
Oh, yeah.
Up to 45% tax on an electric car if you want to import it.
Jeez.
That's ridiculous.
As compared to
18%.
Oh, good Lord.
More than that for an ICE vehicle because you've got other taxes on top of the 18%. But if you just take the import tax without any of the ad valorem or any other taxes, the base import tax for an ICE vehicle is 18%. The base import tax for an electric vehicle is 25%.
So in other words, the next time anyone from this government of South Africa says anything about climate change, you can just throw this at them. Say, listen, guys, if you mean anything that you say and you expect us to take you seriously, then fix this import tariff on electric vehicles. Makes no sense.
Makes no sense whatsoever. So, you know, and why won't the subsidy come? Because potentially the government will, well, they'll definitely lose the tax on the fuel.
Ugh, please.
Because you don't have to put fuel in the car. You don't have to go to one click, Michael.
Isn't that the main reason why Tesla's not here yet? Because Elon says our import taxes are too high.
Well, absolutely. So Elon launches the Tesla in countries that give him government subsidy. It's the reason it became popular in America. It's the reason it was able to reach scale.
Sure.
Because of government subsidies.
You get them to pay some of the costs. Sure.
Yeah. I'm green. And then very finally, Gareth, on Monday, we will be launching our Auto Trader car industry report for the year ended June 2020.
This is going to be an interesting one, George. All that information that you've been sharing with us piecemeal over the last couple of weeks in one report, which will allow people to do a health check on the motor industry in South Africa.
Absolutely. So it takes a deep dive into the dynamic relationship of demand and supply and its impact on price and how dealership listings that successfully capture consumer attention position themselves for the future. But that's not the an interesting part, but there's a special supplement called the COVID-19 supplement that we've included. And we take a look at how COVID-19 has affected demand, supply, and price in the automotive industry.
Excellent. I think absolute essential reading for anybody who is interested not only in getting a health check on the car industry, but I think on the South African economy.
Yep, because automotive is 7% of South Africa's GDP, so it's an important part.
No, it would definitely be worthwhile reading that. So thank you, George, and I'm glad that you and your team are able to put out such essential and useful information, and we will be sure to read it as it comes out next week. Very good.
Yep.
Auto Central is a Cliff Central and Auto Trader show that we do together. You can also get that on Mondays, and it's available as a podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.